The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started. Today is Sunday, May 27th, 2012, if you're listening live, and whatever time it might be, if you're listening to the recording, welcome to the program. And today I want to explore a little more some of what we brought up last week. Not that you had to listen to last week to get something out of today, but as always, before we jump into the topic, let's make the connections. So as we begin, allow your breathing to deepen and focus on opening up to your divinity, the master within you, whatever way that works best for you, opening into your heart, opening into your Dantian, opening into a vision of yourself as an angel, whatever might work for you. Just allow yourself to breathe into that with that intention to allow your divinity to come forth, to allow your mastery to express more fully right now. And any attachment to what that might look like, how your mastery might express, just let that go. And just breathe down and in to make the connection, and up and out to allow the expression. All right. And let's continue with connecting to our Mother Earth. Again, whatever way works best for you, through your feet, through your root, through your whole body, whatever way might work, just open up to that connection and allow yourself to receive her support, to receive her love. Both of those are with us all the time. And this is about claiming and opening to that connection, being fully present now. And at the same time as we open to receive from her, let's open to give back to her. And so allow the flow of energy of your gratitude, of your thanksgiving, of your support and love for her to flow back to her. And as we open up and give to her, so we open up more space to receive within ourselves. And just as much as you're able right now, feel that flow expanding. Wonderful. And let's move on and expand still further. This time in the direction of where our minds might perceive divinity most, which is out to our guides and angels, out to those masters and teachers and spiritual mentors that we have. And once again, open up in the way that works best for you, whether that's through your heart or through your mind, through your third eye or crown, through your body. Again, your choice. And once more, we're opening to receive from them, to receive that support that they're offering continuously to us, to receive that love that they hold for us all the time. And once more, we're opening up to share outward as well, to give back to them and to give them our gratitude, our thanksgiving, our love, and indeed our support. One of the, I don't know if it's a mystery or not, but one of the great lessons to learn on this path is that as we move forward, as we grow, as we expand in our light, so that serves and helps all of those who are serving us, who are helping us. It actually aids them in moving forward and expanding more into their light. So it truly is a two-way street of service. And so allow yourself to be served and allow yourself to serve. And as we open up in that service, so we allow ourselves to receive more as well. And just breathe into the cycle of that flow of energy. And the next place to go is expanding our connection to this community, to the Exposing the Masters Within community, and allowing ourselves to feel the presence of each other, to feel that shared support, to feel that shared intention. And once more, opening up in whatever way works best for you to receive that support of this community, to receive that energy of the shared intention that we're all desiring to come into our mastery. And as we join that, our intention with that mass intention, it allows us to open up more easily, more fully, because we can feel that energy of the mass consciousness. Whether it reaches the conscious level or not, it certainly is there at the energetic. And so, again, open up to perceive that, to receive that as much as you can. And once more, giving that flow back as well, allowing your energy of support and that the strength of your intention to come into mastery, allowing that to go out and feed the rest of the community as well, so that we can all co-create more easily and more from our power. All right. And the final level that we do each week is out to connect with all of the light workers on the planet, everyone who's in body right now, who is walking a path of conscious self-empowerment, a path of self-mastery, a path of divine reconnection. And we don't need to speak the same language. We don't need to meet in person. We don't need to ever come to know each other in physical form. And yet we are sharing that intention. And so connect out, and once more, feel that support, the support of that shared intention, the support of the mass consciousness that believes, that knows, that is experiencing this awakening individually and therefore in collective. And as we do that opening to that support at that larger way, in that larger level, we're able to move forward more easily. And once more, allow your energy of support and consciously open in that idea that everything you do to step into your mastery supports everyone else who is choosing to step into theirs. And feel the power of that. It's an amplification that we offer as we come together as a group, so that we don't need to be out there alone walking the path. We're walking the path as individuals, but we're never walking the path alone. We're always walking the path in this energy of the Mother Earth, in the energy of that support and interaction with our guides and angels, in that energy of this community of awakening to mastery, in that energy of the larger community of all light workers awakening into mastery. And we're doing it together, even as we're doing it individually. And so allow yourself to open into all of that, to feel that as much as you're able. And at the core of it all is your divinity. It is your mastery. It is your power. It is the truth of who you are, the truth of who we are that we're bringing up. So it's not like we're creating something out of thin air. It's not like we have to figure something out. What we're doing is allowing our mastery to come out and removing what's in the way of that. And we have all of this support to do that. All of this support from the earth, from our guides and angels, from each other. And that is such a powerful thing to remember consciously, but it's also a powerful thing to allow ourselves to experience. And it leads me right into the primary topic, or at least the initial topic I'd like to start with here today. And as I said at the beginning, it's actually to bring forward what we spoke of, what I talked about last week, which was primarily focused on the polarity between the energy of needing to control things and that energy of passion. And last week I spent most of the time talking about the passion end of the polarity and how and why we would be served to move into the place where we can use our passion to fuel our conscious choice. But afterwards, what I realized, not that any of that I would take back, but what I realized is I'd like to extend that and talk more about the energy of control now and what is inside of us that causes us to be in that pattern of trying to control. And where is control, or when is control a useful thing, or how can we look at it and turn it into a useful thing, and when and where is it something that is getting in the way of walking this path of mastery. So that's where I'd like to start today. We'll see how much of the time gets taken with that, since we already did begin that discussion last week. But and we'll see what comes up. I've got some other ideas if there is further time. So what is that? What is that energy that causes us to control or to try to control our lives? Well, for those of you who've been experiencing with me over the last 18, 19 months, the gateway activations, I've been reading through the transcripts that I had done for those. And one of them talked about that energy of control just a little bit in the context of whatever gateway was being opened. But what was said in that channeling that struck me, that I wanted to bring forward here right now, is the idea that control, or the attempt to control, or the need to control, comes as a response to what was described there as chaos. And that definitely resonated for me, but what it struck was the idea that control, that need for control that we might have, and this can be in large ways or small ways in our lives, is a response, I would say, to two things primarily. One being a sense of helplessness, and helplessness I would look at as not feeling like we have choice. And the other, and again, here we have even perhaps another polarity. The other primary thing that causes us to get triggered in our need to control something is a sense of overwhelm. And overwhelm in many cases is the energy of too much choice, too much to figure out, too much to think about. And so I'm going to focus really narrowly and not think about all of that, all of those opportunities all of those problems, all of those difficulties, all of that, those areas of my life that I don't feel like thinking about right now. And so control is a way of narrowing the focus when it comes to overwhelm. And it's a way of, well, what's the opposite of helplessness? It's a way of feeling at choice in something when we're not feeling at choice in something else. And so one example of this that seems fairly well established out in psychological literature has to do with patterns that typically occur more in women than they do in men. Men have other patterns about this, but this is one that I think most people are aware of. And it has to do with eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia. Although anorexia is the much, much more controlling of those two. In some ways, bulimia would be the other end of the spectrum, and that would be the more passionate expression. I'm just going to do everything. I'm going to take it all in, and I'm going to choose to then get rid of it so I can take more in. And it's grabbing it all, if you will. Whereas anorexia is, I'm going to control. I'm going to narrow what I'm choosing to bring into my body. And again, in the psychological literature, the link there is that anorexia and bulimia are more likely to show up when someone feels like they don't have choice, when someone feels like their life in some way is out of their control. And again, at its most basic level, control is about choosing. We choose, and that is how we apply control into our lives. But when we don't feel like we can control, when we can choose in meaningful ways, we narrow and narrow and narrow our vision, and we control in ways that might be seemingly trivial. Now, I don't mean to trivialize anorexia or bulimia, but controlling what we put in our mouth to eat, how much we choose to eat, when we choose to eat, it's a very basic thing for us. It's literally one of our survival mechanisms. We need to eat in order to stay in a body. And yet, it's not seeking empowerment. It's not seeking the bigger picture. It's seeking to narrow that focus down. I can't control that my parents are fighting. I can't control that I'm being abused. I can't control that I'm being molested, but I can control what I take into my body. And so in many ways, that energy of control, when it's in the polarity, is about finding something that we feel we can make choices in. And it's not what's really bothering us. In other words, the people who are stepping into anorexia, now, they may be doing it because they don't like their body, they're judging their body, etc. But it's also well established that there's a huge body dysmorphia among people who are anorexic or bulimic. In other words, they see themselves as much fatter than objectively they are. They see 50 more pounds on their body than is actually there, etc. And so I'm not saying that control isn't focused in a way that might seem important to the person at the time. Again, obsessive compulsive disorders, that's another thing. And I would say their obsessive compulsive disorder, having had direct experience with more than one person who was anorexic or bulimic, they are very obsessive and or compulsive. The bulimics are much more compulsive seemingly. The anorexics are much more obsessive. But that kind of need to do something now, to have a say in my reality. That's an extreme version of this pattern of control. Controlling something, choosing in one area of our lives so that I can avoid feeling the discomfort as much as possible of this other thing that is really what's at a deeper level bothering me. Now, that's not to say that when we're in control, when we are controlling our circumstances, we are actually feeling good, but we're avoiding what might feel worse. And so that's another one of these lessons on the path. Everything is relative. If we can use this kind of discomfort in the physical, I'm going to control my diet, I'm going to control what I eat, and have some sense that I have choice in my life, and that may be uncomfortable because I'm hungry, or that may be uncomfortable because I'm not eating what I really want to eat, or even because I'm punishing myself because I ate that thing, that piece of cake, so I have to eat this rice cake now for the next 3 days. It's not to say that we feel good when we're in our pattern of needing to control or trying to control our lives, but we're using it as a way to focus our attention so that we're not focusing on what is worse. And that's the problem, that we don't know how to deal with that other thing that we're trying to suppress. And so it's really important. And again, anorexia, bulimia, these are extreme examples. Obsessive compulsive disorders, where people can't leave the house without turning the light on and off 10 times, or whatever the rituals are that they have created, washing their hands 20 times. Those are extreme. But these control patterns are mechanisms where we are trying to feel safe from the chaos, where we are trying to feel safe from that which we don't feel we have choice in. And so how do we handle that? How can we move from that control end of the spectrum more toward conscious choice? Again, last week was largely about how to move from passion toward conscious choice in the center. How do we move from that? Well, the first thing is to recognize when we're in one of those control patterns. And then when we have that recognition, to make the choice to allow ourselves to experience whatever we've been trying to suppress by being in that pattern of control. And breathe that in. It's going in there and saying, okay, I know I'm in this pattern, and it's a pattern where I'm focusing a lot more energy than would seemingly be necessary on something that I don't really find that important in my life, and I don't seem able to stop myself from doing it, so I'm not doing it by conscious choice. And so that means this is a pattern I'm using that is a pattern of avoidance, avoiding something else. And so I'm going to choose to breathe in and seek to connect with whatever that discomfort is, whatever that pain is, whatever that negative is that I'm seeking to avoid using this pattern. And I'm going to breathe it up, and I'm going to use Reiki, or I'm going to use IET, or I'm going to use magnified healing, or I'm going to use pure breathing techniques, or I'm going to use burn journaling, or I'm going to use whatever other tools I have in my toolbox to move that negative energy, to move that stuffed emotion, to move that suppressed energy out of me. And it is the energy that we are trying to suppress that is feeding that control pattern, that pattern that in many ways is controlling us. It's unconscious. We're not at conscious choice. We're doing this because we feel like we have to. We're doing it because it is our pattern. and to take the energy out that is pushing us into that pattern of control is to go down and release it in another way, is to step in with courage and say, you know what, whatever that old emotion is, whatever that negative situation is, and it may still be with us, we may still be in the situation, but I'm not going to get to the place where I can change it without going in and releasing and clearing the negative that is being triggered. We cannot get to choice through suppression. We cannot get to empowerment through suppression. We can get to a modicum of feeling in control, which feels a little safer than chaos, which feels a little safer than whatever that negative is that we're trying to suppress. But it's not empowering, and it's just spinning around and around and around and around. And the only way we're going to change that pattern of control is by going down and moving up that energy, that negative energy, that energy that we've suppressed because we didn't want to feel it when it got triggered, and moving it out. And this is a piece that is a core part of walking this path of empowerment, of walking this path into our mastery. Exposing the masters within. To do that, we have to expose what we've suppressed. Not to anybody else. We don't have to tell anybody else about it. It's not about going on the Springer show. It's not about bearing our soul to someone else. It's about being willing to look at it for ourselves. And to do that requires us to have a core sense of our value, because that pain, that negative energy, is some form of self-judgment. It's some form of negativity. It may have been triggered by someone else, but ultimately it comes home into us as self-judgment. It collects on and reflects back that energy of the primary issue that we all have, which is, I don't know experientially that I'm a divine being. I don't know that fully yet, so I still don't know my worth yet, so I'm still trying to figure it out, and I still haven't done enough to prove it to myself, and so on. And so it's about stepping into our commitment to ourselves, our commitment to coming into our mastery, and saying, you know what, I deserve to clean this out. It's kind of like saying, I deserve to clean the stuff out of my garage, all the boxes, all the old junk, all the stuff that I no longer use and no longer need, so that I can finally park my car in there. I deserve to go in and clean out all that old negative that has accumulated, all the old pain, and any pain that I'm suppressing now of the situation that I'm in right now, so that I can come to a place of being more empowered, which ultimately to me, empowerment is about coming more and more into conscious choice in the moment. I choose what I choose right now, not because of my past negative experiences or positive experiences. I choose what I choose to do right now because it's the right thing for me right now. And if the circumstances are similar, or externally at least on the surface level the same tomorrow, I still might make a different choice based on where I'm at then. But that requires us loosening this energy of control. Now, one tool that's been given repeatedly in channeling sessions, I've spoken of it before on the show, called burn journaling, where we're just essentially emotionally vomiting onto the page to clear out energies and then burning them at the end, doing a little ceremony to transform them. I found it, and a lot of the people I've worked with have found it to be a very powerful tool. But when we step into it, it's important to step into it with choice. Not because we feel like we have to do it or that's the only way to move the energy, but because it's the right way right now. And one way to do that is to allow our need for control to not have to be overrun and broken through completely. And so the way they've suggested people do that is to get a timer. Egg timer, setting the watch or the phone, it doesn't matter. But you just set that and you say, okay, you know what? I'm going to choose to do this for a minute or for 5 minutes or for 10 minutes. And you set the alarm and you start doing it and you release it and you release it. And this can work with other tools. It can work with doing energy work. It can work with doing scream therapy. It can work with punching pillows. It can work with lots of ways to express old negative energy, where you set that timer and you say, I'm going to choose to do this until the timer goes off. Because again, one of our fears that cause the need to control in the first place is that feeling of helplessness, that feeling of chaos, that feeling of overwhelm, that we might be overwhelmed, that we are going to be overwhelmed if we let the old dark energy out. The old negative out, the old pain out. We're afraid that if we start to let it out, it will overwhelm us. It will take over. And we won't even be able to do what we were previously doing to try and control things. In other words, we'll fall into that dark pit and never come out again. And maybe this is not universal, but it certainly is among most of the people I've ever worked with. And it certainly has been a piece of what I've needed to work with myself. And so we set that timer, and when the timer goes off, that's when we choose consciously to re-exert everything we can do to suppress that energy back down again. And you're saying, well, wait a minute. Maybe you're not saying it, but some of you are. Wait a minute, we're going to suppress it again? I thought the point was getting it out. Well, the point is doing it in a way that allows us to feel safe. Because this need to control is feeling unsafe. It's feeling out of control. And our fear is that if we bring that energy up, it's going to take over and we'll feel out of control permanently, forever and ever and ever. And so by setting that timer, and I've heard people get recommended to set the timer for 30 seconds because that's the minimum, that's the maximum amount that they can imagine that they can handle, 30 seconds of it. Why? Well, because that's where their limit is at that moment. Set it for 5 seconds if you need to. What we're doing here is working with a muscle. It's a muscle of safety. It's a muscle of trust. And so we set that timer, and when the timer goes off and we suppress the energy back down again, what are we teaching ourselves? What are we learning? We're learning that it's possible to let this out and not get overwhelmed, to not go into chaos, to not get to a place where we're helpless against our own pain. And that's an important lesson to learn. And then through time, we can gradually extend how much time we're putting on the timer until eventually we can let it go completely, because we trust that going into that pain, it may be, from a mental perspective, a bottomless pit of pain. But going into it doesn't mean we have to go into it all the way to the bottom. It means that we can go into it and clean out what the next piece is, and we can stop when we're ready. Kind of like, I'm so glad this show is on cable now, Hoarders. I've never watched an episode through, but the idea is so wonderful because it's such a perfect analogy for what we're doing energetically as we step into our empowerment. We're going in to our energetic hoard and we're choosing to clean it out. And so it works on so many levels. Number one, that this stuff is in levels. You can't clean the bottom of the pile without cleaning the top first. If you do, if you try, you're just going to pull the stuff that's on top down on top of you. And you're going to feel out of control. So we take it off in layers and we take it off in pieces. And you can't clean the house all out at once of a hoarder. You can't. Too much. Your arms aren't big enough. You can't get a big enough wheelbarrow in there. So you take what you can and then you stop when you're done. with the portion that you can do at that time. And then when you're ready, you go back in again. And that's how this exercise works. Whether it's burn journaling or any other tool you might use to clear out the old, you're only going to clear out down as far as you're ready to. But one of the major problems is we haven't been taught how to work with our emotions in a way that is safe and beneficial and understandable. We haven't been taught that they're just messengers telling us to change something if it's negative. That's it. That's the message. Okay, thanks. You can go. Now I get to figure out what to change. But the more we step into these truths and the more we experience our emotional body and experience that we can choose to not be overwhelmed by it, that we can choose to suppress it. And that's not wrong. Suppression is a survival tool. Use it until you don't need it anymore. And until you need it, embrace it. You're not doing something wrong by suppressing. You're allowing yourself to function. But here's the thing. We on this path, seeking to step into our mastery, we're not just desiring to function. We are choosing to empower ourselves. We are choosing to step to that level of mastery. Masters do not just live at a functional level. Sure, they can do the functions. They can do the basics. Again, the old, I'll call it a spiritual cliche. I know I've used it before. What was there before? Enlightenment master. Chop wood and carry water. What's life like now after enlightenment? Chop wood and carry water. It's not what we do that matters. It's the level that we're experiencing from that matters. And so mastery is not this grand thing. Well, it is a grand thing, but it's not this grand thing where we just eliminate everything we do down here as physical beings. It can get to that level, perhaps, probably. The stories tell us it can. I haven't made it there. I still have to clean the toilet and sweep the house. But it's about the consciousness we do that with. When I can remember when I'm cleaning the toilet to go in there with the intention that I'm not just cleaning at the physical level, I'm choosing to move energy. I'm choosing to clean out old gunk that's clogging my inner toilet. Then I'm doing it at a very different level. It's a much better experience, I could tell you. And that's what we're doing. As we're walking this path of mastery, we're stepping into learning how to find, how to choose to bring divine consciousness into everything. Because that's another piece of that experience of separation. The separation that we've gotten into, that we have bought into, is the separation of spirituality from physicality. At its most basic. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. What a crock. The physical, the flesh is spirit. It is divinity. And that, to me, is one of the major pieces of what we are here to come into mastery of. Not to master our physical, to control it, which is these patterns that I've been talking about, which is this thing of, there's something wrong with me. I've got to control what I eat because there's something wrong with me if I'm overweight based on what the norm is, if I'm overweight based on what the government says makes me obese, etc. I've got to control that. I'm a bad person if I'm overweight, blah, blah, blah. The physical is divine. The emotional is divine. The mental is divine. Everything is divine. That's the secret that we are seeking to embody. And it's not a secret. It's out there. One of the teachings I was raised with as a Catholic is about and I'm probably going to pronounce this incorrectly. Let me know if I do, if you're one of those who know such things. The omnipresence of God, meaning God is in everything and everyone and every moment and every experience, present everywhere. Well, that right there supersedes a lot of the other teachings about original sin and all the rest of that. If God, Goddess, is in me in every single moment and in everything I do, how can there even be such a thing as sin? There can't. If you will, to me, the only sin, and I use that term in quotes, the only sin there is the sin of not remembering that there's no sin. So, this energy of control, of needing to control, comes out of the energy of unworthiness. It comes out of that feeling of helplessness. It comes out of the energy of overwhelm, that there's too much to deal with, so I'm going to shut down my focus and just deal with this. Which is, if you will, in some ways, a distortion of conscious choice. When we are in empowered conscious choice, whatever we're experiencing, it's not that we only experience things that we have consciously chosen. It's that we're consciously choosing how we relate to everything we're experiencing. Because we're co-creators. We're co-creating with all these other divine things in our life, including our car when it breaks down, including our hot water heater when it floods the basement, including all of the other people. And I didn't even get into how much we try to control other people as part of this pattern. Maybe that'll be a topic for another show. But all of this that we're trying to control, we're actually co-creating with. And so it's not that we want to get to that place. Well, maybe we do. Where, poop, snap your finger and everything is exactly the way we want it to be. And we do that in every moment. To me, that takes some of the adventure out of exploring down here. And I like the adventure. And maybe that is where we're headed. I don't know. But it doesn't feel quite right to me. What feels more empowered to me is that no matter what I'm confronted with, I can remain in my divine energy, in my divine perspective, so that I can be in that empowered choice of how I deal with whatever I'm experiencing. And these patterns of control, they're about us trying in some way to feel like we are at choice, even if it's this most minute thing, this most trivial thing. It's, I feel like I have choice. Of course, as it gets to be more and more obsessive, it feels less and less at choice. And so we perceive more closely how much we're not at choice. But the fact of the matter is, it is still attempting to be at choice. And so even that is trying to be in mastery. And so it's not that I'm judging the control pattern. It's a survival mechanism, the same way that emotional suppression in general is a survival mechanism. So it's not about condemning ourselves or judging ourselves when we notice a control pattern. It's more about noticing, oh my God, here we go again. Here I am in my control pattern. Okay. I'm going to choose to let go of the judgment that comes up as that's there. Let go as much as I can right now. Whew. Whatever energy is pushing me to use this pattern of control, this habit of control, to feel safe. And I'm going to choose to breathe into that negative, whatever's underneath it, and choose to move it out in whatever way I can.
I'm going to choose to be present with another layer of myself, which happens to be that level of pain. And I'm going to move that out, and I'm going to fill that in with more self-love because I've just let go of some judgment of myself about the pattern of control, about the pattern of suppression that stored all of that stuff in there that I'm now letting out. And I'm going to breathe into my own gratitude that I have enough awareness to make this choice. And my own gratitude that I have enough strength to make this choice. Because it's not easy to change these patterns. These are powerful patterns. And for many of us, they've been around for a really long time. And yet this is the path. The path of breaking down the patterns. And I find it very interesting for me, just how I've been feeling as I've talked about this. And I'm not sure how you perceived it out there, but at the beginning, in talking about this and going into the energy of control, it just felt, well, it had that energy of helplessness. It had that energy of darkness. The first 20 minutes were a lot different than the last 15 minutes have been where, I don't know what the transformational point was, what the shift point was, but I can laugh. I'm feeling a lot lighter as we work through this process to get to the place where we are at choice, not in control. And I think that's what this does. It lightens us up. This process of touching in and looking at control, of touching in and dealing with it and making choice to transcend it. That's what it does. It lightens us up. It opens us to the higher experience. So, I think this is the point to stop this part of the flow, or to conclude it. I don't want to stop it. I'm going to keep flowing, but just move in different directions. And I guess those other topics that came into mind that I might be talking about today, I guess they'll wait for another time. So, I want to, again, do the bit of advertisement. Our sponsor today is the next Gateway activation that I'll be doing with those who gather on Monday, June 4th. And it is the Gateway of Integrity. And even though I talked about procrastination last week and thought I might get that information out earlier than I have, I haven't. So the cost for this, and it's the Gateway of Integrity that we're opening, and that is about stepping into all of our parts working better together. Feeling more one, less divided against ourselves. It's about other things, but that's one of the core aspects. And it's going to be, for now, it'll be that $22 for those who register and pay in advance. The plan is that next Saturday that is going to shift and it will go up to the $44 price, and then on Monday, the day of, or actually, I guess that would end on Sunday at midnight then. It will be at the full price of $55. So that's the early registration price that you're getting if you register now and pay now. So anyway, a couple other things. One, next week I will be going to one of my niece's graduation parties back in St. Louis. So I will not be here live. If you have any particular programs that you would like to hear again over the ones I've done in the last year, let me know that in the next couple of days. I'm going to send Doug an email here this week to say which of the previous programs that he pulls out and would play next week. So if there's one you'd like to hear again that you remember something about it but not everything, you might remember the topic, you might remember some exercise we did, you might remember who it was that I channeled at the end, let me know so I can put on a show that you'd like to hear, one of the programs when I'm not here next week. The following week, I will be bringing a guest on again. And this is another one of my favorite people, a colleague of mine, Joelle Wilkins, will be joining me. She's another channel. She does some wonderful, wonderful work. But we'll talk more about that when she joins us. That'll be on June 10th. So, now it's time to do some channeling. So as always, allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to bring in whoever is going to be joining us here today. So, Nimaniate dabagiano mai nimone antaiende heano. Hello, dear ones. This is Melchizedek, come to be with you today. Welcome. And we want to also let you know, although not speaking, the beings that, the best label you've given them is the Ashtar Command, are very much here working with us as we do the process that we will do here today. So what we are going to do is an activation. And it is an activation that is very much about empowerment. It is very much about stepping up into greater empowerment. And so allow yourself at this time, allow yourself at this time to consciously open your whole being, your whole body, your whole energy field. And so if you will, what we would give you as a vision is literally to imagine yourself as a house, and you're just going around from room to room, opening all the windows wide, opening the blinds and the shades and the drapes. Everything is getting opened fully, and you're opening all of the doors, and you're turning on the attic fan, and you are opening up the basement to air it out. Everything that can be opened is being opened, and just give yourself a moment to do that, to step into that level of permission where it is everything that you're opening. Now, if something doesn't want to go all the way, if some of the doors feel stuck, open them as far as you can. Some of the windows feel stuck, open them as far as you can. The same with the blinds and the coverings, the shades, the drapes, anything. What you're seeking to open is as far as you can at this time. We are not seeking to override any of your energies, any of your patterns where you still feel the need to control, to feel safe. We're not overriding anything. There's no need to push here. This is about choice. So, allow yourself to do that. Step into that degree of opening. And wherever it is for you at this moment is perfect. It is perfect. And just breathe into that sense of openness. Wonderful. Now, what we're going to do now, and that is why Ashtar Command is here with us. What we're going to do now is to do a merge. And what you're going to merge with is another aspect of your own soul energy, your own oversoul energy. Terminology is irrelevant. But it is you, but it is not the part of you that has come to embody in this body. It is a part of you that is embodying in a being in the Ashtar Command. Now, if that concept is one that messes with your head, You don't need to think about this. And you don't have to do it. No one's forcing you to. But what you need to know, this is another part of you that is not a part of you that you typically have access to. But it is a part of you that is enough you that the resonance is extremely strong. It's close enough in your soul energy that the resonance is extremely strong. And why we are offering this to you here today is that in this merge, this aspect that you would be merging with, this aspect that you would be allowing yourself to recognize as yourself, has different areas of empowerment than you do at this time. And so in this merge, it is going to strengthen areas of your own empowerment that you have been working on, that you have been desiring to change actively. And it is going to help you to leap forward in those areas. Now, it may not be leaping forward all the way to where you desire to be in outcome, but it will definitely speed the process. And it will only move you as far as you are open to being moved, so it is not overriding any of those patterns. Although we do have a little surprise at the end that we will bring you back around through that house, if you will. That is yourself. So, at this time then, to the degree you're open, to the degree you're ready, this is you merging with yourself. And again, some of you may envision this in various ways. Some of you may envision it as a being of light coming down into you through your crown. Some of you may envision it as if you're lying on a bed and a being is floating down to float into you. But again, remember, this is you. It is simply another aspect of you. Another aspect of you that is more empowered in certain ways, and you're going to merge your energies. And there may be ways in which you are more empowered than the one you are merging with, in which case they will be stretching as well. It's not true in every case, but in many it is. In any case, the one that is merging, the aspect of you, the higher you that is merging with you, is doing this in service to you. And so let yourself receive this. Let yourself feel the blending. Let yourself feel the expansion. That greater sense of connection to home is what some of you will feel. The greater sense of choice is what some of you will feel. The greater sense of energy is what some of you will feel. Whatever it is you feel is fine. Just breathe into it. Breathe into it. And what you are doing, this is almost like downloading new programs into your computer. What it allows you to do when you do that is something new that you were not able to do with your computer before. So in terms of your energy field being like a computer and that it has patterns of energy flow, what you're doing is downloading new patterns of energy flow, expanded patterns of energy flow. And so just allow yourself to breathe into this, to be with it. And if you feel yourself in resistance at any point, you can breathe into that resistance and choose to let it go. Or you can say, okay, this is a boundary. This is where I stop. I'm not trying to push past this. Let the flow be what is perfect for you now. And be at choice in each moment of this. You can always stop it. You can always reverse it if you would choose to. Okay. Good. And now just allow yourself to give gratitude to this other part of you that you merged with as this part takes its leave of you, returning back to full embodiment in the Ashtar Command. And allow yourself to feel that expansiveness, to feel the new energy flows that are in there in you now. And now we go back to the surprise. Because what we would do is have you go around that inner house again and choose to open again. And you will find that some of those doors and windows and shades and blinds and drapes that would not open fully will now open further than they would before. Why? Because you feel these new energies in you. You feel these new patterns in you. You feel this new strength in you. And so we would suggest for at least 24, if not 48 hours, to the best you can, be gentle with yourself. These were powerful shifts that were offered to you, that you did a wonderful job of opening into receiving. But over the next 24 to 48 hours, they will be integrating into your system. So the more you are gentle with yourself during this time, the more easily and fully you will integrate them. The less you will find yourself trying to push some of these changes back out of your system. So, whatever that means in your life, to be gentle with yourself, we would suggest this. If you don't want to do it and you don't have to do it, don't do it. If you do want to do it, great. If you feel you have to do it, great. But if you feel you have to do it, go into it with as much choice as possible. Embrace your power to choose to do it, even though you have to do it. And that will help you maintain the greatest degree of openness and the greatest degree of being at choice while this is integrating. So, We give you our thanks. We give you our love. Know that we are with you, dear ones. Namaste. Hello again. I almost started to go into the Canadian National Anthem for some reason there. Anyway, I would ask you, Doug, to turn on those chimes whenever you're ready. And I would thank each and every one of you for helping me to co-create this today. Whether you listened live, whether you listened to Memorex, however you might have perceived, you were also co-creating this. You were participating with me in bringing this forth. So thank you. And I encourage you, as always, to continue in that, to offer me your comments, your questions, your desires, your likes, your dislikes, what you would like to bring forth in this process of exposing the masters within that we walk together. As I said earlier, I will not be here live next week, but there will be a program, and it'll be a good one because they've all been good ones. And potentially with your feedback, it may be one that you specifically would like to hear again. So let me know. As always, you never know where the show's going to go. You never know where you're going to go until you get there, until you choose where you're going to go. So choose now, choose wisely, choose empowerment, choose mastery, and choose love. Much love, my friends. Namaste.